This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Shortly past 7:30 in the morning, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets, NHL, and World Junior news is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We welcome from Malmo, Sweden, where he's covering the World Junior Hockey Championships for the Toronto Star, Kevin McGran. Kevin, good morning, and thanks very much for joining us. I guess good afternoon where you are.
Yeah, I guess it is afternoon. It is a little hard to tell because the sun goes down so quickly up here. I never know what time it is, and then dealing with North American deadlines is a whole other issue altogether. So it's at some point in Saturday, that's all I know.
There you go. I assume you're going to bring your family back to Malmo at a later date and time for vacation?
It's a beautiful city, you know. It really is. I love these little European cities. There's so many interesting little walks and places to go, and they have such wonderful sort of street architecture, and there's a big table lamp in the middle of one square. There's just weird things all over the place that sort of make a walk amusing.
Well, there you go. We'll put it on our bucket list of places to head to. Kevin, got to start with Team Canada, obviously, as they get ready to play the Finns a little bit later on this afternoon in North America, and probably in the evening in Malmo. Yesterday, both Matt Dumba and Charles Hudon missed practice for Team Canada. Is there any fear at all that those guys aren't going to suit up for the game today?
No, Coach Brent Sutter said today they're both going to play. I don't know how well they can play. Matt Dumba is limping around, and Charles Hudon's got a really bad shoulder. But you know, this is the medal round. This matters to them. I don't think you can. I don't know what you can do to get those kids out of the lineup. They're going to play no matter what. One leg, one arm, they'll play.
You know, Kevin, we see so much in international hockey, whether it be the men or the juniors. Sometimes Team Canada gets off to a slow start and they have a tough game that may kind of wake the squad up. Do you think that Czech Republic game served as a kind of a blessing in disguise for the squad?
Oh, I think absolutely it did. And the way the Slovaks played against them, that they had to sort of pull it out late against them. I think those were... I think teams do get better with adversity. What you saw with the Americans was a team that steamrolled over lesser opponents the way Canada should have and didn't, and then they run into the Canadians and the Canadians beat them, and then they run into the Russians and they don't know what to do with themselves. You know, the Americans had as much talent as anybody in this tournament and should really still be playing, but they didn't run into adversity until it was too late. I think Canada sort of has that in its back pocket. It's trailed in just about every game except the last one, so it knows how to come from behind. It lost a game against a lesser opponent, so it knows what disappointment is. I think all those things make this team that much stronger.
Kevin, Team Canada plays Finland at 12:30 p.m. Central Time. I'm not sure what time that is in Sweden. We'll have to check into that. You would know. It's probably around
7:30.
7. How do you think Canada matches up against Finland, and what are the keys to the game?
Well, I think in Finland's mind, Finland might have superior goaltending. They always seem to at every level in their hockey ranks. What they're going to do is they're going to play the same kind of game the Swiss played. They're going to bottle up the neutral zone. They're going to collapse around their goalie. They're going to play stifling defense. They're going to block shots. They're going to make Canada's creation of offense a very frustrating thing. And so one thing Canada has to do is stay out of the penalty box and not get frustrated. They've done a good job on that, so have the Finns, so you're not going to see special teams. And then what the Finns do have that the Swiss don't is they have a little bit more offensive firepower up front, so they might be a little bit more opportunistic than the Swiss, or at least be able to capitalize when they have their opportunities. So I think you're going to see two-thirds of the game in the Finn end, but not an awful lot of shots, and some surprising Finn attack it from time to time.
You're listening to TSN 1290 online at tsn1290.ca. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're joined by Kevin McGran. He's in Malmo, Sweden, covering the World Junior Hockey Championship for the Toronto Star. Kevin, you looked at Team Canada, and I mean, for the last number of years, the sort of the bugaboo for Canada in the World Juniors has often been goaltending. They started the tournament with Jake Patterson. He played the first two games. You know, he was okay in net, but it seems like really since they put Zach Zachary Fucali in that. He's really solidified the goaltending position. You know, has he been a stabilizing force for Team Canada in the net?
Certainly he has. You know, I started writing stories about the problems that Canada had in net minding following the 2010 Olympics, because you started looking to 2014 and you go, well, where are the next generation of goalies coming from? Mm-hmm. And one name that kept coming up was Zach Fucali. Zach Fucali is a teenager through the ranks, and he's certainly proving it. One thing that he does really, really well is he talks it up with his teammates a lot. He is calling play-by-play on the ice, no matter where the puck is on the ice. It can be in the stands, and he's still calling play-by-play. So his defensemen know exactly where the puck is and who's where at every time. He's the eyes in the back of their head. And I don't think that can be overstated, because in a tournament like this where, you know, you've played six or seven games with your defense partner rather than an entire season with a defense partner, all that communication helps. So that's sort of an intangible thing that he brings. He's also, he's got some swagger to him. He's got some confidence, and he knows how to handle the puck. And all those things sort of help the Canadian team sort of deal with any kind of intrusion into their own zone. And they can be fairly certain that if they make a big turnover, as Matt Dumba did a couple of games ago, he'll be there to save their bacon, as it were.
Kevin, Connor McDavid, of course, is much talked about in Canada, not for this upcoming draft, but the one after that. What's been your impression of him thus far?
Well, he's done kind of what I expected him to do. He's not been a game-changing factor, but he's had some really good shifts and he's had some really down shifts. What's impressed me is how he's handled the downside. You know, he's a little overwhelmed physically by some of the teams, and I think you'll see that even further in the next two games of when he goes up against top-level talent that's two or three years older than him. But he's handled himself well post-game. He's handled himself well through the downs, through being benched, through being the 13th forward. And he's still managed to produce a little bit of offense. He's a really good kid. He's a really smart young man. He's mature for his age, that sort of thing. So he stood out in those regards, but I'm pretty sure he's here because he'll be back next year and the year after. And of course, we all know next year it's in Toronto and Montreal, so they want a good turnout and as much experience as they possibly can for the home crowd to cheer on next year.
Kevin, I saw you wrote about this recently in the Toronto Star, talking about the projected 1 and 2 picks in the 2014 draft. That, of course, being Barry Colt's captain, Aaron Ekblad, and Sam Reinhart. Do you think that their play in this tournament is going to have any impact on where they're drafted in June?
Well, it'll have some impact. I mean, scouts always look for how players do in big events. I mean, the Memorial Cup will speak just as much, and the OHL and WHL playoffs will speak just as much. One thing the players are cognizant of is that NHL teams want winners, and if you're a winner at this level, then that's going to help. They certainly haven't done anything to hurt their standing. Aaron Ekblad, in particular, he's really opened my eyes. He's a very, very big young man, mm-hmm. and he's very smart with the puck. He's very physical, and he doesn't take a lot of penalties. And you got to think, boy, the defenseman like that in the NHL is worth his weight in gold, and eventually one day he'll probably get it.
20 minutes before 8 a.m. in Winnipeg, and 20 minutes before, let me do some quick math there, I believe 3 p.m. in Malmo, Sweden. We're joined by Kevin McGran of the Toronto Star, talking about the World Junior Hockey Championships. Canada and Finland obviously gets underway on TSN a little bit later on this morning. Kevin, you know, you wrote that yesterday, I believe, in the Toronto Star about Griffin Reinhart and how he'd been suspended for the first three games of the tournament, and he just can't come back and played the last two games. How much of an impact has he had on Team Canada, and do you really think that there was a significant possibility Team Canada wasn't going to bring him to this tournament because of that suspension?
Team Canada saying now that there's no way they were not ever, that he was always coming, but I know Griffin Reinhart and Sam Reinhart both had the same feeling that there was a chance that he wasn't going to be invited, because that suspension is, three games is an awful lot. It's almost half the tournament, and it could have been the entire tournament if it came back and bite you by not having your best defenseman out there. I think had there been better defensemen as well at the 18-year-old and 19-year-old level, then he would not have come, but obviously he is a supreme talent. A lot of people are wondering why the New York Islanders, who have a history of rushing their players, don't have him with the NHL team right now. But good for Team Canada that they don't, and good for Griffin. He gets a shot at redemption from what happened to him last year in Ufa. He is a he's a remarkable player in a lot of ways. The way he controls the puck, and the way he sort of just calms everybody down. I was looking forward to watching Matt Dumba play. In the first couple of games, I was wondering why I was looking forward to Matt Dumba play, because he wasn't playing all that well. But as soon as he got paired up with Griffin Reinhart, boy, he just sort of sprung free, and Griff's like, I got it here, go play your game, sort of thing. And you can just see that through the entire lineup. And the way he produces offense, the way he knows when to jump into the rush at the right time. He doesn't do it a lot, but when he does it, it seems to work. He's got a goal and assist just doing that the other day. So I'm really impressed with the game Griffin plays.
Kevin, we got to ask you about a couple of Winnipeg Jets prospects, because we're in Winnipeg, of course, and for Jets fans listening, they would tweet at me with some negative comments if I didn't ask you about this. But Nick Petan and Josh Morrissey, what have been your impressions of those two Winnipeg Jets prospects?
Well, Nick Petan's certainly an opportunistic scorer. Without him, I don't know. Maybe they don't get by Slovakia. He looks like he can go up and down the lineup, and he looks like he's got a really good shot and a really good skater. Josh Morrissey's had a bit more uneven approach, but I think he's going to be a solid pro going forward. He's not been a standout on the blue line by any stretch of the imagination, but Petan has really, really jumped in when needed.
Kevin, we'll let you go on this last question. Canada against Finland today. It seems like Canada would be the better of the two teams, no disrespect to the Finns. But in the other semifinal, Sweden and Russia, obviously Sweden, hometown crowd behind them. Is this destined to be a Canada-Sweden final, or is Russia really gearing up to play spoiler in that one? And how do you think that second semi unfolds?
Yeah, that might be the best game today. Certainly organizers here want Sweden to overwhelm Russia and make it a Sweden-Canada final. That would be the best of all worlds. You'll get all the Canadian fans showing up. It'll be a nice raucous finish on Sunday to this tournament, which has been pretty well attended. Russia, though, they've actually impressed me. I haven't seen a ton of them. I saw a couple of games. And the one thing about Russia is that we all know they've always had a ton of talent, but that talent has always played as individuals, and that's come back to hurt them so many times if they try to be individual stars. This team is playing more like a team. Like, I haven't seen a Russian team play like a team, play a sacrificing game and helping the other guy and everybody, you know, all for one and one for all sort of thing. So I think this Russian team has the ability to upset the Swedes, but the Swedes have an awful lot of talent up front, and it would be a huge disappointment if they didn't win.
The games get underway shortly. We'll have them for you on TSN television. Kevin McGran is live in Malmo, Sweden. Thanks very much for your time today and joining us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
My pleasure, guys.
Take care, Kevin. Thanks very much. Let's go to break. You're listening to TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. This is...
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on tsn1290.ca.
Ten minutes before 8 a.m. here on TSN 1290, online at tsn1290.ca. McPhillips Toyota Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Bruins puck drop at 12 noon on this fine radio station. Right after us, Gary and Andrew, Hustler and Lawless. You can call him Gary and Andrew, though. Tell him I said so. Did you hear that? Sorry, off topic here, guys. Did you hear that Leibel had a lunch scheduled with Gary yesterday, and apparently Gary stood him up?
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah. Didn't know about that.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I have eyewitnesses to Leibel sitting at the table by himself.
For how long? How long did he give him?
Like an hour?
Wow.
Yeah.
An hour?
Yeah, a whole hour.
I would have given him 10 minutes, maybe. It's scary. It's not like it's someone important. By the way,
you would have been done your meal in 10 minutes. By the way,
Gary big times me all the time at restaurants and the press box. So, I mean, I could have saved Leibel the trouble. Just kidding, Gary. I know Gary right now is just, you know, steaming, and he's shaking his fist at his ham radio.
At his ham radio. anyways, I'm sure you'll hear about that comment. That's a separate issue altogether. We're gonna push our Team Canada predictions until 8:15. We didn't want to give them short shrift. We went a little longer with Kevin McGran. World Juniors gets underway. The tournament, the Canada game, of course, is going to be at the same time as the Jets game, so people will be able to flip back and forth or do the old Pollock playoff setup, having the two TVs in one room. That was always a classic move.
One time, Richie had three TVs.
That's true.
Really? I don't remember the three TVs.
Yep. We had three TVs going, so you could see. It was, man, it's unbelievable. The Olympics are going to be great. Today's going to be great with a Jets game and a World Juniors game going on at the same time.
Plus then the NFL playoffs right afterwards. So that's going to be pretty good. What's your keys to the game for Team Canada? I mean, it seems like, you know, they've had a pretty easy road here. I mean, no disrespect to Team Finland, and if they overlook them, they can certainly get bitten by them. But it seems like you look at, Sweden, Russia seems like it's going to be a heavyweight tilt.
Sweden looks really good, Drew. Yeah. I caught that quarterfinal game, and they looked, they didn't give up the puck the whole game, and the home fans are behind them. They skated confidently. They have a lot of guys on that team. You know, Philip Forsberg, who, very good player, veteran. They have guys on that team that are scary to play against. So if I'm Canada, I'm really worried about Sweden. But of course, the whole cliche, and it's true game by game. Against Finland, one of the aspects is you don't want to overlook, your opponent.
Yeah.
The other thing is Canada's doing a nice job. I think their defense has been really good at getting the puck up to the forwards. Pouliot and Morrissey and Ekblad, all these guys have been doing a really nice job getting the puck up to the forwards and letting the forwards do their thing. And a guy like, we haven't talked a ton about, I haven't been on the air in a couple of weeks, Anthony Mantha.
Yeah.
A guy who's really established himself as a great scorer.
Red Wings draft pick.
Yeah, Red Wings draft pick. And the questions were about, he can only score was the questions at the draft this past year. Well,
what's wrong with that?
And he's scoring quite well. And you know what, guys? I've actually really liked the way this team's come together. Their leadership, I'm talking captain, Lawton, I'm talking Brent Sutter, Fekale has been great in net. I like the way this team is playing. You have Dumba's playing. He's going to be playing a little bit injured, but he's playing nonetheless. I think that's important. They have the depth to me on defense, too, that they can, with Reinhardt, we mentioned with Kevin McGran. The defense I really like. I like the goaltending, and the forwards are doing what they need to do. They're not going to get 10 goals, maybe like Sweden, in the way they were handling the puck, but they do what they need to do. I think this team, it's going to be tough to beat Sweden if they beat Finland, but they should be able to get by today's game by keeping it simple and just making sure that the forwards get the puck and are allowed to do their thing. So they'll get three or four goals from that, and they should be able to win by getting three goals, I think. I don't think Finland gets more than three goals today.
Yeah, I agree with Richie. This is a very well-balanced team, and for all the talk about all of these players that were kept off the team, Morgan Rielly and all these guys, Aaron Ekblad looks like a guy who's playing with the maturity of not only an 18 or 19-year-old.
I agree.
He reminds me a little bit of Chris Pronger, to be honest with you. Size and the way, maybe not as nasty as Chris Pronger, but I think Ekblad is going to be a very good pick for whoever gets him in the draft. It'll probably be first or second overall. But, the Finns have some good players. Teravainen, who's a Chicago Blackhawks draft pick. Saku Menelainen has got 7 points in 5 games. They've got some good players on that team, but Drew, the keys to the game, I think you obviously can't take the Finns lightly. The Finns seem to always be kind of that dark horse team for a medal, so you obviously don't want to take them lightly, but also you want to play the type of game that has made you successful, and basically the type of game that always makes Canadian teams successful. You got to be physical, you got to be hard on the puck, you got to be quick out of your zone. You have to also rely on good goaltending, but I don't think you're going to have to rely on goaltending as much as you will, as Richie mentioned, against the Swedes. But you have to play a well-balanced game, stay out of the penalty box. The Finns have been good on the special teams in this tournament as well, but stay out of the penalty box, be disciplined. When the Canadians have been stayed out of the penalty box, and we talked to Kevin McGran about that. Connor McDavid took that penalty, and then Brent Sutter benched him. Richie talks about the leadership, and I agree with him. Brent Sutter is he knows how to deal with these young players. He's dealt with them with Red Deer in the WHL. He just seems to know what he's doing. He's only lost one game as a coach in this tournament format. It's really incredible.
I have some concerns about, if we look past Finland for a second, playing Sweden, I have some concerns about keeping up offensively with them.
They have been the best team in this tournament. Yeah.
I mean, Sweden looks that good, guys. So they look scary good. Now, Fekale is see, this is the thing, guys. For years, Canada has not had that steady influence in goal. I like how he's cocky, and I like the defense too, but I like how he's cocky, and he's won the Mem Cup. Maybe he's the great equalizer. In past years, they had great teams and not great goaltending. Maybe this year they have a good team, I know it's one of the best teams ever, but it's a good team. I like the way it's built.
Yeah.
But maybe Fekali is the one to make up for that, and I think he can be. And I like the way they're going. And finally, you know, you talk about goaltending, and it's you can never overstate the importance of goaltending. Everybody plays hockey. When you play hockey, you have a better goaltender in it. It changes the way you play. It changes the confidence level. It changes the risk level. It changes your commitment to defend. It changes everything. And I think right now he's prime, you know, to possibly take them into a, you know, to a gold medal the way he's playing.
Like Richie mentioned the defense. I don't think people expected the defense to be as strong as it has been. A guy that we haven't talked that much about is Derek Pouliot. And I remember a couple of years ago, we had Craig Button on the show, and we were talking to him about Derek Pouliot. And he said, even though Derek Pouliot was obviously not going to go first or second overall, Craig Button said that he wouldn't have any problem taking Derek Pouliot. I think Derek Pouliot has been one of the best revelations in this tournament. The Pittsburgh Penguins have a steal on their hands. I think Pouliot's going to be a great defenseman for them.
Sure. Another guy who I actually liked his game and I've been impressed with is Curtis Lazar.
Yep.
I thought he's been sort of one of those guys who, for Team Canada, who will do all the dirty work. He's been sort of one of those. I mean, he's been able to put his name on the scoreboard. He's
put
got
up really
points.
Good numbers in the WHL, Drew.
Yeah. To me, his game has sort of been the guy, sort of almost the unsung hero of the team that every team needs.
His attitude I like, too. Yeah, you know, just in the way he comes off, you know, he just cares about hockey, really.
Yeah.
And a little bit, yeah, I like the way he came off in terms of the interviews. I think that, I do agree with that point, Drew. I think there's a lot of guys, there's certainly, again, scoring is a little bit of an issue, I think, against a team like Sweden. Character's not an issue with this squad.
Right.
And not that it usually is with Team Canada, but especially with this squad.
That's
I like
why
the
they
character.
Were comparing this team to the 2006 team, because the 2005 team was the one with Crosby and Getzlaff.
Oh, that was the team.
And then the 2006 team was, you're using that term, lunch bucket, which is not really, I think, is a little bit overstated in the fact that there tons of these guys are really good players for their junior teams. But Richie's right. This is more of a character team. They've got some scores, but probably not as many scores as the Swedes. Philip Forsberg might be the MVP of this tournament.
Well, he looks so good right now. But, I mean, again, you're talking about a guy who was in Nashville.
He's an NHL player.
Yeah, I saw him play in Nashville in Los Angeles a month and a half ago.
Right. Russia-Sweden gets underway in a couple minutes on TSN. Finland and Canada following that also on TSN. Let's go to break. When we come back, we're joined by the voice of the Boston Bruins, Jack Edwards, to talk about today's Jets-Bruins game. McPhillips Toyota Game Day. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Hours down, 1 hour to go. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. Online at TSN1290.ca. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and the website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and NHL news is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. He's our very good friend from the New England Sports Network, the voice of the Boston Bruins, Jack Edwards. Jack, good morning. And on behalf of all of Winnipeg, we apologize for sending a little bit of our weather down to you in the Northeast.
Oh, it's good for us. It keeps us honest, you know. It's only 4 below zero here Fahrenheit, so you guys would be walking around in T-shirts, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's shorts weather, in fact. Barbecues and, you know, go to the beach and the whole thing. Jack, before we get to the Boston Bruins and their on-ice play, we want to start with Sean Thornton, and it came out earlier this week. He decided not to further pursue an appeal of his 15-game suspension. Why do you think Sean Thornton decided to go that route as opposed to, you know, furthering this process?
I think he's sick of it. I think he just wants to get it over with and bide his time and just run out the clock on this suspension. He realized that because of the timing to prepare the case, to get an arbitrator on which both sides could agree to go through the process and then have a decision rendered, he might save himself one game of a suspension or possibly two, but it probably wasn't going to be worth his effort. And he did not want to be a distraction to the team. You know, don't forget, this is a guy who was part of this team through the whole Tim Thomas soap opera, and he understands, especially in mid-season, how this kind of a thing can become a real poison in the room, even if the player doesn't intend it to be that way, that it becomes a distraction, that it diffuses the focus of a team in days of the season when it's very difficult to focus, because a lot of the game right now is being able to keep your mind in the same place emotionally every single time you're out there. And I think Thornton's really sensitive to that.
Jack, the Jets play the Bruins early this afternoon. One of the players that Jets fans might be surprised to see very close to the top of the scoring leaders for the Boston Bruins is Riley Smith. And some people may only really know of Riley Smith due to his presence in the third episode of 24/7, being the brother of Brendan Smith, but he's second on the team in scoring with 31 points. What has made Riley Smith so productive?
He is a player who really has vision. And that's not just vision on the ice, it's vision for how his career is going to develop. He is keenly aware that a player in his fortunate position to be on a very successful team, surrounded by potential mentors who could help shape his career, that he's a guy who has stepped into a great situation. He gets to play alongside Patrice Bergeron almost every single shift, and he is a guy who understands how to open up a seam and make a really good, hard, flat pass tape to tape. If you notice his technique, he doesn't open up his wrists an awful lot. He doesn't open up the blade of the stick an awful lot. And I'm not saying he's another Sidney Crosby, because there isn't one, but much in the same way that Crosby does not lift the puck so that it wobbles and it's difficult to receive, Riley Smith is also tremendous at keeping it flat. And that has helped Bergeron be a more effective scorer as well. So, you know, this is a guy that they're really, really high on. They knew he was skilled. I don't think anybody thought he was so skilled that he'd be in the top two or three in team scoring as he has been almost since Louis Erickson went down about 10 games ago.
You know, Jack, you look at this team, and success over the past few years has been the depth of the team, you know, lines one through four. Line three right now, Carl Soderberg, what does he provide? And he's had some injury issues, but what does he provide, and how important is he to the success of this team, you know, on a long-term basis with respect to the season?
Well, he's really important because that line's got to produce. When the Bruins have been successful in the playoffs, they've gotten really good work out of their third line. Chris Kelly has a broken leg right now. He's got a broken fibula. That's the non-weight-bearing bone. He broke the tibia, which is the big one. That's the one that Stamkos broke earlier this year in the lower leg. Kelly broke that one last year, and he really wasn't effective until probably conference finals, and then he had a pretty decent Stanley Cup final as well. This is a situation with this team where the third line has got to produce. They've got to be a plus line, and they've got to be a threat. And, you know, you guys know all the reasons for that. It's not just to augment the first two lines. It's to keep the rhythm of the attack going. As for Soderberg specifically, he's a really important factor because he's a big body. He's learned to play the North American game very quickly. He understands the value of eating the puck along the boards. He understands the value of not turning it over, even when it turns into something like a nothing play, but just making sure you get the clear into the neutral zone. He's willing to take the body, and probably the thing that he does best when he's right is that he can set up right next to the post, and because of his strength on his skates, he's able to hold his position. And even when the puck is right next to his skates, I don't know if it's the lie on his stick or if he's just extremely good with his hands, but when the puck's really in close to his feet, he can make long distance passes through the most amazing angles that it really is almost an unpredictable path. We see very, very few players in the NHL able to make that kind of pass with the puck in by their feet.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. We're joined by the voice of the Boston Bruins on the New England Sports Network, Jack Edwards. Jack, the Bruins just got defenseman Dougie Hamilton back. He played just under 18 minutes on Thursday night, but towards the end of the game, inside the last 5 minutes, Torrey Krug went down with an injury. He didn't practice yesterday. Are you expecting to see him in the Bruins lineup this afternoon against the Jets?
You know, the Bruins have really gone KGB with the injuries. It's hard to read. I think we won't know until Claude Julien meets with the media shortly before the teams take the ice for the pregame skate. The team just doesn't disclose a whole lot of information there. They've had the injury bug this year, as they have very seldom in the past. And, you know, some people may say, oh, well, it's, you know, all those long playoff runs catching up to them, but I'm not sure I'm buying that. I think it's more just happenstance and just weird things happening to the team all at once. Frankly, if Krug has to sit out a few games, it might not be the worst thing for him, because he really is hitting a wall right now. He's been super productive on the whole this season, but in the last 10 games or so, there's been a little bit of drop-off in his play. He hasn't been quite as good in the defensive zone, which is always going to be a challenge for an undersized player. And he's still pretty creative on the power play, but there's got to be more to his game than just that. So if he does have to sit down for two or three games, it probably wouldn't be the worst thing that could happen to a rookie defenseman.
Jack, you mentioned the injury bug, and Dennis Seidenberg is obviously a huge loss for the Boston Bruins because he plays in the top four. But how big of a loss really is Dennis Seidenberg, and do you think the Bruins have enough depth to make up for the loss of Seidenberg?
No, they don't have enough depth, just all by themselves. And really, you know, we were almost joking when we came on the air the next night, the next game after Seidenberg got hurt. It actually was the next night. It was a back-to-backer against Ottawa, home and home set. And we said, all right, Bruins are looking for a veteran left-shot defenseman who's as strong as a horse, likes to play the right side, which is unusual, so extremely reliable that when you put him with Zdeno Chara, they're arguably the best shutdown pair of the last 3 or 4 years in the National Hockey League, contributes offensively, is tremendous in the room, and is probably about a 9.8 on a 1 to 10 hockey IQ scale. And so, you know, that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
That guy isn't out there. It's not a difficult argument to make that if Seidenberg were not on the Bruins, he'd be the number one defenseman on about 20 other NHL teams. That's how good this guy is. He is a gigantic part of this team. He is, after Rask, Chara, Krejci, and Bergeron, the fifth most valuable player. And, you know, he's almost interchangeable with Chara in the way they use him. So, you know, you could even make him a 4A. It's a giant hole. And they're going to have to patch together a combination of things. And frankly, a guy like Mark Stewart, who's an unrestricted free agent, totally understands Claude Julien's system, was drafted as a Boston Bruin, is a tremendously attractive rental. Now, I'm not saying that Kevin Cheveldayoff's looking to move Mark Stewart. I don't have any direct evidence that that there's even been a whisper of that. But that's the kind of guy that the Bruins could use to create the patch, because he's a left shot, he's rugged, he's reliable. And he's a guy that the Bruins absolutely know. He's not one of these unknown quantities you're going to have to teach a system to.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, nobody plays harder than Mark Stewart. We know that here, Jack. And when you look at the goaltending aspect of this team, Nicholas Svedberg, he comes in, may not be that widely known, plays well in a game, has been playing well down in the AHL. The Bruins' goaltending depth as an organization, you know, you have Svedberg, who you can probably tell us more about. Obviously, Rask, he signs a big contract. And then you have Malcolm Subban in the system. Is that something that eventually the Bruins may have to deal from a position of strength to add in another area?
It may not be that long before they do it. Chad Johnson's a very adequate backup, there's no doubt. And he has let in a couple of soft goals this season that have been really disappointing in games the Bruins felt they should have won. But, I can't ever throw a goalie under the bus. I really can't, because in order for the goalie to handle the puck, five guys in front of him must have made some kind of mistake. So, you know, it's difficult for me to take that position and really be critical of it. But I suppose that's part of the territory. As far as Svedberg, he's a guy that is he's really promising. He gave up some really long rebounds, and one of them resulted in a goal in his one NHL game a couple of nights ago. But he's got a very bright future. He's 24 years old. He's very cool. He's got quick feet. He wants to learn. He wants to take on new challenges. And he certainly projects as, if not the very near term, the near term backup for the Bruins. Because, in part, Malcolm Subban needs a lot of reps in the AHL. Subban, I don't think anybody would say that this guy is not a great athlete. He's got so much promise. He has a very level head. He's a guy who really, really wants to learn and excel at the NHL level. And if you can project a Rask-Subban combination with maybe even a 50-30 split, that kind of thing for starts during a season, you're talking about a very powerful goalie base that almost doesn't quite, but it almost makes you immune to the most vulnerable injury that any team has in the playoffs, which is your number one goalie going down unexpectedly.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. McPhillips Toyota Winnipeg Jets game day, as the Jets and the Bruins will have puck drop at 12 noon Central Time in Boston. We're joined by Jack Edwards, the voice of the Bruins on the New England Sports Network. Jack, the Bruins are 6th overall on the power play, 5th overall on the penalty kill. Obviously, tremendous special teams so far this season. Why have those two units been so good for the Bruins?
You know, the special teams... Well, the penalty kill has been really, really good since the Bruins acquired Daniel Tyee and shored up their forwards who can really kill the penalties. And you know, that was, I don't know what, 5-6 years ago now. The power play has been problematic, and it's not because Jeff Ward is not a great coach. Jeff Ward is the assistant who handles the power play. He's been telling these guys the same things about moving their bodies and moving the puck and creating scenes and two-on-ones, but they just simply haven't executed. The elephant in the room was that Zdeno Chara is not a distributor of the puck, and he was alone at the blue line. That created two major problems. One was Chara's not going to win a race against any penalty-killing forward in the National Hockey League. If the puck tumbles or Chara takes a shot and that top penalty-killing forward blocks it, he's going to have a shorthanded bid. The forwards had that in their minds the whole time that Chara was out at the top. So putting Chara in front of the goal, as the Bruins have this year, has done a couple of things. Number one, it's opened up that point spot for the likes of a Riley Smith and a Torrey Krug and a Dougie Hamilton, and they can wheel the puck from there. Putting Chara in front of the goal has not only created a great difficulty for every goaltender who has to try to see around the giant, but it's also created a new challenge for Chara. While Zdeno Chara is never going to be considered the most graceful player in the NHL, nobody outworks that guy. I mean, nobody outworks that guy. And when the Bruins put this on his plate at the beginning of the season and said, we want you to be the guy in front of the goal, that was something that was so foreign to him that he had to work at it like crazy. And he loves to work hard. And it is really sort of brought back the child in him, in that delight in going to the rink every day, trying to get better every single practice in a new way than the ways he's been trying to get better every single day. So it's been a real refreshment to him. And the other thing we can't discount is having Jerome McGinley out there. The right shot on the left side, a guy who's pumped in close to 550 goals in his NHL career, still as good as ever. And really, really wants to get his hands on that cup. That's also helped the power play a ton.
Jack, we have one final question for you. We've been talking about the Olympics basically throughout the show, picking our Team Canada roster and talking about the Team USA roster. Is there any concern as far as the Boston Bruins go with the number of Bruins that will be going to Sochi, Russia, including Coach Julien? And do you think that's going to have an effect on the team later on in the season?
There is definitely concern, especially because the amount of travel, the condensed schedule, the intensity of the games with, you know, you could argue
probably 80% of the 200 best players in the world taking part in that tournament. And, you know, Chara's going to play 30 minutes a night on the big surface for Slovakia, on top of the demands on him in Boston. Yeah, there's a lot of concern about guys getting hurt. But that's part of it. And all the elite players are going to go. And so the load is going to be the same on all the guys at the very top level. The Bruins know they're going to have to play their way through Pittsburgh if they want to get out of the Eastern Conference. A lot of people think that Chicago is going to be waiting if the Bruins get to the Stanley Cup Final, and it could be a classic rematch. But, you know, those two teams are loaded with players that are going to go to the Olympics. So the workload is the same. And the Bruins kind of have an unspoken motto that is, if it just comes down to who's going to work harder, we're pretty confident we'll come out on top. And so I guess that's the mentality. Just as a little bit of an aside, it's funny to watch the predictions about who's going to make Team Canada and how a lot of people project Patrice Bergeron as a borderline player, whether he's going to make it or not. If Team Canada doesn't take Patrice Bergeron, they're nuts. They're absolutely nuts. This guy is one of the, I would put him in the top five or six players in the league right now, if not the whole world. Mm-hmm. And he is as good as they get. It's so many things that he does that don't show up in the scorebook. And you'll see it this afternoon. He's as good as they come.
Jack Edwards is the voice of the Boston Bruins on the New England Sports Network. He'll have the call of the Jets-Bruins game later on this afternoon. Jack, as always, thanks very much for joining us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Thanks for having me, boys. We don't get there till April, so it'll be almost summer, I guess, huh?
Yeah, let's not hold our breath on that one, but fingers crossed.
Yeah, it'll be less cold, Jack.
Thanks, Jack. Have a good call today.
Thanks a lot.
Let's go to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Big thank you to Jack Edwards for joining us. As always, great insight into the Boston Bruins, the Bruins, and the Jets. 12 noon puck drop here on TSN 1290. It is McPhillips Toyota Winnipeg Jets game day. This segment of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show is brought to you by the Certified General Accountants of Manitoba. The CGA Association of Manitoba is the largest, fastest growing, and most diverse accounting body in the province. Did you know that CGAs are among the top 5% of income earners in Canada, with an average yearly salary of $74,000 for new graduates? For more information, contact the CGA Association at cga-manitoba.org. Certified General Accountants, we see more than numbers. Gentlemen, time to unveil our Team Canada rosters. The official unveil will happen Tuesday in Toronto. You can hear that live on TSN 1290 beginning at 10 a.m. Central Time. I guess the big show is going to go a little long. They'll stay on the air to bring that announcement to you. The first question I have is, you heard Jack Edwards talk about Patrice Bergeron at the end of that interview last segment. Is Patrice Bergeron on both of your teams? We'll start with that. Richie, answer that question and then unveil your roster, why don't you?
Patrice Bergeron is on my team, Drew, because he's such a good two-way player, and he's your best right-handed face-off guy, too. I mean, Getzlaff has never been a great face-off guy. Got to take that into account. You got a big draw in your zone to the right of Carey Price or Roberto Luongo, whoever it may be. Who do you want taking that draw? I want Patrice Bergeron taking that draw. And to just restrict his abilities to that, you know, certainly ought not be the case. He can do so much. And because he's so responsible defensively, who do you want your first penalty kill? I want him. I'll have Taves on my second penalty kill. Whoever else on my second penalty kill. I want Bergeron my first penalty kill. The stuff that might not get a lot of attention, Bergeron will do it for you, and he'll do it well. Here's my team. Forwards. Line one. I'm going to go by lines, okay? Four lines and then two extras. Line one. Crosby center. Stamkos on his off wing on the left side. St. Louis on the right side. So you got St. Louis and Crosby. St. Louis and Stamkos, excuse me, as a combination. Crosby in the middle. Stamkos can play without the puck and still be effective. St. Louis and Crosby are shifty players who can play a give-and-go game if they need to. Second line. Jonathan Toews is my second line center, although, you know, second, third line, whatever. Jonathan Toews is my second line center with Patrick Sharp on the right side and Jonathan Tavares on the left side. Okay, so you're moving John Tavares from center to left wing. Okay, but you're putting him there with a great center, a two-way center in Jonathan Toews. So Tavares' responsibilities as a center in on Long Island defensively are certainly going to be less when he's on the left wing, and Toews is a great defensive center. Anyways, Sharp's also very good defensively. Third line. It's tough. This third line was tough for me because I think it's, you know, what do you do? I still have a scoring line. I have Getzlaff as my center. I have Corey Perry as a right winger. And I have Jamie Benn as a left winger. I like the combination there of size. And I know size in the big guys, you could say, but Benn can skate too. Okay? Getzlaff, Perry might not be the best skaters, but Benn can skate and he can shoot. And off the and the passes that Getzlaff's been shooting more this year. But the passes that Getzlaff gives to Perry and I think to Benn can allow some great scoring. So that's the top three lines. Fourth line, I have Bergeron as my center. Jeff Carter on the right side. Nobody's talking about Jeff Carter. And, you know, he might not be the player that gets the most attention, but he can skate. He can take faceoffs if you need him to. He's a natural center, but he's played wing for years now. He can shoot the puck. You need to have shooters. And he's responsible both ways. He can do a lot of things for you. He might not get a lot of attention. I have him on my team. The left side of that line, I have Logan Couture. He's a center, but can play wing and has played wing in the past. My two extras are Eric Staal, a center who can play wing and who can skate and who can move anywhere in the lineup, and Mike Richards. And Mike Richards, you might say, okay, you know, not having the best year and maybe isn't in the echelon talent-wise as some of the other guys. Mike Richards is a winner. Who do you want killing penalties? Who do you want in big moments? Who do you want blocking shots? He'll do anything it takes to win, and that's the kind of player I want on my team. He rounds out the forward group.
Who is your biggest omission, your hardest decision on the forward group?
To me, it was an odd recognition. It was Matt Duchene. And Matt Duchene's skating ability, to me, is with the puck, is probably close to second to none in the National Hockey League. I just couldn't find a spot for him, and I think his time will be 4 years from now.
Okay, let's go to your defense. As you will do yours probably after the commercial break, we'll do your team. Let's go to the defense.
Keith and Doughty first pairing, but again, first second pairing. Keith on the left side, Doughty on the right side. Guys who can do everything. You know, just great players. Second pairing, it could be third pairing, Bomeister and Pietrangelo. You have skating, you have puck moving, you have shot from Pietrangelo, you have a guy who can do, who can get back in their own zone and negate the other team's forecheck, who can close gaps on the big guys, who can skate, who can do it all. Third pairing, so we're at issues. I have Weber on the right side.
Yeah.
Now, my three other defensemen, Subban is one. If he's going to play, you can put him as a seventh defenseman because he can dress seven, or you have him on the left side with Weber. I'm not sure what they're going to do there. My other two defensemen, and I've gone back and forth on this, I have Brian Campbell. Because Brian Campbell, to me, can negate traps. He can create a great rush. The Team Canada has great forwards. I need a guy who can get him the puck. It's not like Vlasic can't give him the puck, but Brian Campbell's ability to skate the puck through the neutral zone if there's no pass available, to me, sometimes goes overlooked. And he plays in a bad team, and I know he's not great defensively, and he's not been great in the playoffs in the past. I got him as a 6th, 7th defenseman here. I think he's all right. I have Dan Phaneuf as my 8th guy on the back end. Because he can play the left side, because he plays against your best players on the other team, he's not an upper echelon guy like he probably should have been, and sometimes he has some defensive issues, and you know, you can decision making, there's some concern there. But Dion Phaneuf, to me, if you need him to play that kind of a role as an extra guy, I think he can do that, and he can do that well. My goaltenders...
Hang on. So you're on your team, you do not have Dan Boyle or Mark-Edward Vlasic.
I don't have either of them.
So those would be the two sort of biggest defensive omissions on your team, you would suggest?
I would even have Giordano probably ahead of one of those guys. Okay?
Okay.
My goaltenders, I have Price as my 1, Luongo as my 2, and I have Mike Smith as my 3.
Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll do Ezzy's predictions. I'll mention some of mine, and we'll talk about this a little bit more. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, McPhillips Toyota, Winnipeg Jets Game Day on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This segment is brought to you by Dr. Les Rikus and the Linden Market Dental Center. Whether an elite athlete or a weekend warrior, wearing a proper fitting custom-made mouth guard is an essential part of your protective equipment. Give yourself peace of mind protection as well as facial, teeth, and mouth protection. Contact the Linden Market Dental Center at 204-487-2226 or visit them online at lindenmarketdentalcenter.com. NHL.com. Ezra Ginsberg, your Team Canada roster, it's a little bit in flux. I think you're going through some you're second guessing yourself in the commercial break. Is that what I understand?
Yeah, I'll give you my forwards first, but okay. I've actually made a switch on defense. I'll get to that. I have to make the switch.
Go switcheroo.
You know, Richie gets me thinking and about the deep pairings. I got to make a switch, so I'll get to that in a second. Of my 14 forwards, only one is different than Richard. So it's not going to be completely different as far as the forwards go. The only one we disagree on is Matt Duchene and Jeff Carter. So my forwards are basically identical. I've just got them in different positions. So instead of going over why I put them on the team, as Richie's already done so eloquently, I'll just say what my lines are. I've got the same top line. Crosby's the best offensive player in the world. I've got Marty St. Louis on the right wing, Steven Stamkos on the left wing, not playing center. But that line, I think, is your go-to offensive line. Three of the best players in the world. That line is going to cause so many problems for opposing defensemen. Second line, third line is where I differ a little bit from Richie. I keep Getzlaff and Perry together, but they're on my second line as opposed to the third line. I think those guys right now are tearing up the NHL, both top 10 in scoring. I've got John Tavares also on the left, and I think this is probably the biggest difference between the rosters that Richie and I have presented with some of the other rosters. A lot of people have John Tavares playing center there. But I think Getzlaff is one of the most dominant centers in the NHL. You got to keep him at center. You got to keep Corey Perry on his natural wing. So second line, I've got Tavares, Getzlaff, and Perry. My third line, Patrick Sharp is on my team. I've got him on the left side. Jonathan Toews centering the third line. This line can score, obviously. This is the first line of the Chicago Blackhawks, well, two-thirds of the top line. I've got Eric Staal playing the right wing. I think this line, you've got three very good players, but you've got some size on that line with Eric Staal playing the right side. He can play a checking role as well as providing offense. My third line, and this is where I've had to flip-flop a couple of wingers, but on my fourth line, I've got Patrice Bergeron centering that line. Very good face-off guy. I've got Logan Couture on the left wing, and I've got Mike Richards on the right wing. And I think Mike Richards might be, one of those guys that people think is a bubble player. For me, absolutely not. Mike Richards has proven it time and time again. One of the best leaders in all of hockey. Mike Richards has to be on this team. So the two guys that I don't have, I guess, in those four lines who are kind of my extras are Jamie Benn. I've got Jamie Benn as an extra because I think it's going to be hard for him to get on the roster. He wasn't invited to the camp. So Jamie Benn, to me, can play. Probably you'd want him playing on the second or third line, left wing. Keep him on his natural wing. And then Matt Duchene will probably have to play a wing position. I don't think he can obviously play the center position. That's his natural position. But he's played wing at times this year for the Colorado Avalanche. So again, Richie and I have basically only one disagreement. Jeff Carter for Richie, Matt Duchene for me.
I just want to confirm so our audience can make sure that they hear this part. Neither of you have Claude Giroux on your team?
No, Claude Giroux. Yeah, why don't you come to the orientation camp if you want me to consider you seriously?
He was so off the team.
That would be a no
one.
For you.
Mm-hmm. And he hasn't played well that well.
I think they're talking about him. I don't think he makes the team. By the way, he was awful at the beginning of the season. He's been incredible. He's a point of game right now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Claude Giroux's picked up his game, but he doesn't make my Olympic team.
Well, why didn't he go to Calgary? I still don't understand.
Because he hurt his finger golfing or something. Anyways, defense, Ezzy, this is where you're really going, becoming apoplectic.
I made a good word. I made a late switch. Richie's got me thinking about the left side here. I only had two left side defensemen, so I've got to add someone in there. And the guy that I'm adding and I'm subtracting, I had Brent Seabrook on my team in August. He's a right shooting guy, but I'm going to sub in Mark Edward Vlasic for him, and I'm going to take two Sharks. But I'll go through my top pairs. We've already gone through that a little bit today. But I think you go with Duncan Keith and Drew Doughty as your top pair. And then PK Subban switches over to the left side, pairs up with Shea Weber for the second pair, and I think that's your top power play unit. And then I think my third pairing is going to be Jay Bouwmeester, Alex Pietrangelo. As Richie already mentioned, both of these guys are unbelievable skaters. They'll be on the penalty kill unit, shutdown defensemen, big, lots of size. And then my extra defensemen are going to be the aforementioned Mark Edward Vlasic with Dan Boyle. The reason why I'm putting Vlasic, again, I think I don't have enough left-shooting defensemen. So I think with Vlasic, if you need to put him in a position on the third pairing or you dress him, that gives you the left-shooting defenseman, whereas Seabrook doesn't. And then Dan Boyle, I know Richie and I disagree a little bit about this, but yeah, he's lost a step. But I think Boyle, if you look at the defense, it's pretty young still. And I think Boyle gives you the leadership. I think he can play on the power play. He does that so well still in San Jose. So I Boyle, to me, has to be on there. Even if he's not the Dan Boyle of 4 years ago, I think he still makes my team.
Your goaltenders?
My goaltenders haven't changed since August. Roberto Luongo, Carey Price, and Mike Smith, because I don't think that there has been any goalie really that has unseated Mike Smith. To me, Smith and Luongo, pardon me, Price and Luongo have been 1-2 for the last 6 months. So nothing has changed as far as my goaltenders go.
If you look at the team that I put together, now that Ezzy's completed his and Richie, you've given yours, again, a lot of the same similarities that we all have.
Same similarities.
Yeah, well, sorry. A lot of similarities, same teams is what I was going for in you know, proper use of the English language in that instance. You know, to me, you know, obviously Crosby and Taves are my top two centers. I have Tavares still playing center, though. I put him between Stamkos and St. Louis. And a guy that I have on the team, and I have him playing a bigger role than I think, Ezzy, you have him on your team, and Richie, you don't even have him on the team. That I have Matt Duchene, and I have him playing with Sidney Crosby on the left-hand side up there. And I have James Neal up on the right-hand side. I just look at James Neal, and I look at this team, and there's certain, if you want to take, you know, not a weakness, because, I mean, that's certainly not a weakness. Mm-hmm. But to me, they're lacking a little bit on the right-hand side of natural right-wingers. They have Corey Perry and Marty St. Louis now. But James Neal, to me, is one of those guys who can just go on the right-hand side, and you don't have to worry about him there. Not getting a lot of chatter. I would be surprised if he does end up making it on Tuesday, but stranger things have happened, and hell, if I'm right, then I'm going to party like it's like never before.
Like it's 1979.
I think it's a good pick, Drew. When I picked my original team in August, I had James Neal on there. James Neal's a natural sniper, so I don't think it's going to be as much of a surprise as people are making out to be. So I think it's a good pick.
Yeah, so I have James Neal on my team, as I was saying. I have Claude Giroux on my team. I agree with you. I was with you at first, Richie, in regards to why aren't you there in Calgary at the orientation camp. And I think there probably is some blowback, and I think the team might be looking for an excuse not to take him. But his performance over the past 2 months.
Where are you putting him?
I'm putting him on the left-hand side. I'm taking him off center and I'm putting him on the wing. I like the flexibility that he provides. He's just got such a skill set that I know that they probably are a little upset with him and for blowing off the orientation camp. But I think that at some point in time, it's too good to overlook. Logan Couture I have on the team as well. Like I said, Stamkos, Tavares, St. Louis, that's a line for me. I have Getzlaff and Perry, and I have Eric Staal on the left-hand side with them, quote-unquote fourth line, but obviously the numbers don't count.
No Bergeron or Richards.
I have Richards. Okay. Richards is one of another guy I have center. He's sort of one of the extra two guys, but I think he cracks the lineup more often than not. To be honest with you, I don't see a lot of LA Kings games, so I don't know how good he's been this year, but you know, when push comes to shove and when the game gets bigger, he always seems to step up his game.
Talk about loyalty with Jack Johnson. Mike Richards always puts the Team Canada jersey on.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, his offensive numbers might not be crazy. He's a second-line center for an amazing team in L.A.
Yeah.
So it's not like Mike Richards is playing on the fourth line of a bad team. I mean, Mike Richards is a huge part of the L.A. Kings.
He played wing in the last Olympics with Taves there, too.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of chemistry. They know that they can plug and play him. You know, they can plug him in wherever they need him, and he'll deliver. And you mentioned he's a second-line center in L.A.
Win face-offs, too.
Yeah. Win face-offs, penalty kill, all sorts of things.
Penalty kill.
Patrick Sharp is my other extra
25 players in this game?
I have 14 forwards. That's all I have. Patrick Sharp is Richards and Sharp would be my 13 and 14 forwards. You know, Sharp, you know,
to me, he's a lot. He's got 24 goals.
He had a hat trick last
25.
Night. What he can do with Jonathan Taves if they choose to go that way, what he can do, you know.
I think they will play together.
Like you said, it's a short tournament. There's not a lot of time to build chemistry with these guys. You just overlooking him. I think he's surpassed significantly, by the way. I was never a big Chris Kunitz on the team bandwagon guy here. I think Chris Kunitz about on my omissions list.
Yep.
Chris Kunitz is pretty far down the list. You know, I would take Bergeron ahead of Kunitz. I would take Jamie Benn ahead of Kunitz. Kunitz to me, never really was on board with all that the buzz around him.
Kunitz is a great player, and I think that sometimes he almost doesn't get enough credit because he plays with Crosby, but he does enough without Crosby to warrant consideration. And I think he is a long shot, Drew, but a guy like Patrick Sharp, I don't think is a long shot at all. To me, he's almost a lock.
He's played his way on the team. You know,
I agree.
It's almost that simple.
And they need, I think they need right wingers, so I think it works that well.
Yeah, that works. In terms of defense, Keith, I mean, my, you know, the Doughty, Pietrangelo, Weber down the right hand side, no questions asked. Keith on the left, and then Bouwmeester on the left to play with Pietrangelo, and then the last three. You know, I have Mark Edward Vlasic on the team. I just think the fact that he's got the, you know, he can play the left hand side and this team is lacking in that area, I think is enough to put him onto my team, just give him that extra little boost. PK Subban, I have him on the team, sort of playing on, you know, he'll be a power play specialist or whatever you like. And I've been going back and forth between Dan Boyle and Brian Campbell, Dan Boyle and Brian Campbell. And initially I had Boyle, but the more I think about it, I think Brian Campbell and his skating ability and the way he can sort of, not that Dan Boyle can't get Canada out of trouble, but the way he can, the way, I mean, he's a magician on the ice. He's the only thing worth watching on the Florida Panthers, for God's sakes.
And well, I wouldn't go that far, but...
Well, I mean, he's been like that.
He's got two really good centers in Barkov and Bukestad.
But, so. Are they on your team, too?
I would say he's the only good player to watch.
He's a special player to watch on the Panthers, is what I'm saying. And I would put him on my team, you know, over Dan Boyle, but it's close between those two guys. And my goaltender's the same, Luongo, Price, and Smith.
We'll see who has the best, who comes closest to
picking. Well, hang on. Are you going to change your team again between now and the announcement on Tuesday?
Yeah, last night.
No. This is the final one.
Okay, so you're
going to... Vlasic and for Seabrook. I love Brent Seabrook. I just... Not a left-handed shot.
I think...
Want to quickly power play penalty kill?
Sure, real quick.
I've got it here.
Well, see, as he has on his top unit, I think you said you had Weber and
Doughty.
Doughty as your top. See, I have...
Or Subban and Keith.
Subban and Keith is my number one.
You can flip-flop either.
Yeah.
It's funny how good both of those combos are.
Yeah, and then that would be my second. So you and I have the same defense pairings in terms of the power play. The forwards, I think they're going to roll the lines probably, which I don't love. Probably roll three lines, I think, in these things, and I don't know if that's a great thing. I know St. Louis isn't in the past. Actually, this year, Hitchcock has rolled three lines through power play, so that may, he's coaching this tournament. That might be the case. Penalty kill, you're going to have to rely on guys... like Bergeron, that's going to be your key guy. Positioning isn't that much of an issue there. You're going to, you know, so I'm not so concerned about. I think the guys that they have on this team are able to play in all the different situations, which is the best part. So I have Taves killing penalties. I have Bergeron killing penalties. Richards, if he's part of that rotation, killing penalties. I don't think there's going to be too much of an issue on defense. All those guys can defend as well as they can play on offense. So I don't think the special teams, it's an issue. It's significant. The scheme is going to be significant, and it's going to change every line by, you know, based on every line, right? Guess that's the puck handler on his line if he's going to be on this team. Crosby, the puck's going to go through him on that power play. The puck's going to generally go through the center and the winger. That's why I want some guys who can shoot. I want some snipers. I want Ben. I want Carter. These guys can shoot, and they can skate too. Because as we said early in the show, when we had two listeners at 6 a.m. on Saturday morning, you can't have 12 guys who carry the puck. You have to have some guys who don't need the puck to create offense.
We'll find out on Tuesday. You can hear the announcement live on TSN 1290 starting at 10 a.m. And then Wednesday, NHL Midweek returns after being away on our holiday hiatus.
Bum.
Exactly. Returns on Wednesday. We'll break it all down in detail come Wednesday evening, NHL Midweek, 6 p.m. on this fine station. Let's go to break. When we come back, one final segment. We'll look at the Jets and Bruins a little bit more. You're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to The Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
One final segment of The Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This morning on TSN 1290, TSN1290.ca, it's brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. For over 25 years, Rumors has been Winnipeg's home for the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit RumorsComedyClub.com. Tonight at Rumors, after the Jets game, after the Team Canada game, go check out Daniel Kino at Rumors Comedy Club tonight. Two shows, 7:45 and 10:30. Tickets available at RumorsComedyClub.com. Gentlemen, Jets, Bruins, going to be a tough battle for the Jets, but they have played the Bruins decently well over the last couple of years. If you probably of all the upper echelon teams in the NHL, the Bruins are one of the teams they played best against.
They don't really open it up, the Bruins, which helps the Jets.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to play that structured style, that five-man game, and they don't trade chances necessarily. And I think that benefits Winnipeg because Winnipeg will open it up against teams they shouldn't, and then they get caught.
Like tomorrow.
Yeah, that worries me tomorrow. But and there's a lot of injuries there. But, okay. We've talked a lot about Team Canada, a bunch of other things. I want to quickly get this in before we end the show. Dustin Byfuglien.
Yes.
I mean, he creates offense. We know that. Defensively, I mean, this guy is giving it back game after game after game. Jacob Trouba and Enstrom seem to be developing well. Zach Bogosian can play the right side and play over 20 minutes a game, and I don't mind them apportioning 20 minutes to all those guys. I don't really care if Dustin Byfuglien doesn't like playing forward. But with Chris Thorburn playing in your top nine, as you all do respect to your boy, with Chris Thorburn playing in your top nine for now a significant period of time, is it not time to say to Dustin Byfuglien, you know, it's all fine and dandy that you don't want to play forward, but if we're going to have a realistic shot here at making a run, we need to solidify our top nine, and you can create offense from up front and not cost us on the back end. To me, why is he not playing on the with Olli Jokinen and move Setoguchi to the left side or some reasonable facsimile of that? He can create. Jokinen isn't a good creator. Byfuglien can create. He can use his size. They both have size. They can create off the cycle. Setoguchi is a shooter. Setoguchi is a passenger. I mean, the guy hasn't done anything all year, but Setoguchi can shoot. He can work off of Byfuglien in the offensive zone off of Byfuglien's passing ability. He can get into open spots. That has, to me, to be looked at, and I don't care if he doesn't want to play it. You want to be a team player? You know, let's go here. And if this team, there's a gap in the top nine, there's a gap for a setup man. Defensively, he does not care about the defensive zone enough to play that many minutes on defense. And Trouba has established himself and been really good. And Bogosian can play the big minutes. To me, it's time to look at that seriously.
I think you raise a good point because this is a little bit different than the first year. And by the way, we don't really know at this point. I know Byfuglien has said that in the past. Mm-hmm. But do we know that he's not open to it? And he should be open to it.
Yeah,
because,
I don't care anymore.
Because, and you got to keep something in mind, too. There's nothing saying, and I know this screws up the pairings a little bit, but there's nothing that says that Byfuglien can't play forward and then play the point on the power play.
That's exactly right.
He could play on the third line or the second line.
Sure.
Probably the third line because the Scheifele, Frolik, Kane line is really
don't
working as the second
up.
Line.
Yeah.
So, and then you play the point on the power play, right? So you get your extra minutes on the power play because you're losing some minutes. Byfuglien has been a forward before. He won the Stanley Cup with the Hawks as a forward. Sure, he went to Atlanta and switched to defense. But I've said
Thorburn
this
in the top nine.
Yeah, I've said this time and time again. Like Byfuglien is one of the most frustrating guys. He's fourth in the entire NHL in defenseman scoring, which shows you that he has crazy good, which is a great word, offensive ability. But you can't ignore the defensive mistakes he makes. And he's in better shape than he was last year. So that means, Richie, that he can probably handle being a forward better than he has in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something absolutely worth exploring.
I don't agree.
I don't know if it's necessarily going to happen.
You can't have him and Ellerby playing big minutes. The Jets fans' hearts cannot take that. They can't take it.
What about then if it's Ellerby and Party?
You play him 5-6 minutes a game. You roll Trouba and Bogosian. Those guys can enter. They can play big minutes. Stuart has to take a step up.
Yeah,
Stuart's the bottom pairing defenseman for sure. He's going to play hard. He's going to block shots. Bogosian feels comfortable with him. He can freelance a little bit more. I think that needs to be considered because Byfuglien is that big of a liability on the back end. Cut back the fifth and sixth guys' minutes. It's fine. You got young guys. They can skate. They can play.
My thinking is, you look at the Jets, and I have no insight on this. Just looking at it from as an observer, it seems like they want to pair Enstrom and Trouba together as a long-term,
looks good.
Next 3 years, play them together.
Looks solid.
I have to believe that Dustin Byfuglien's on the trade market, probably right now.
He ought to have been for the past year and a half, or 2 years. Don't get me wrong, I respect what he can do, but I'm talking about the structure of the team. Salary-wise, Enstrom, big money. Bogosian, big money. You can't make, I wrote about it on Legal Curve, you can't have all these guys making big money when you're going into free agency because you need some money to be spent up front.
Especially when they're arguably not good enough defensively.
They're not arguably. They're not good enough defensively.
To warrant that. So, again, I'm a big fan of Buff. I think we all are. But I think it's especially – you got to consider, too, after this year, he's under contract for two more years, right? Mm-hmm. So if he is part of the next 2 years and maybe beyond, is it worth considering moving him to forward? And, again, this is something because, again, Byfuglien is one of the most enigmatic players in the NHL. I thought he deserved – serious consideration for Team U.S. as a forward or as a defenseman because of his ability to create offense. For a 260, 270-pound guy to do what he does is really incredible, but he does have his deficiencies.
Creates offense for both teams.
Cheers. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy.
And jeers.
No, not good enough.
He's a bad boy.
I never seen something stink like this.
Surprisingly not good.
Richard Pollock.
I'm going to jeer the New York Rangers handling this Michael Delzato situation. They don't have enough depth on the back end to continue benching him all the time. He never plays, and when he plays, he's actually playing a fairly significant amount of minutes. There's supposed to be a meeting between Glenn Sather and Delzato's agent stay in Toronto, but weather may not allow that to happen. In any event, it's time to make a decision here. You're going to start playing the guy, or you're going to deal him. But the way they've handled the situation, I jeer the Rangers.
What about Delzato as a second-pairing left-side defenseman for the Jets?
Yeah, consider it.
I'm going to cheer Ryan Miller. Ryan Miller had the injury last year. He's gone through so much stuff. The team has been awful. He's been the subject of trade rumors. What does he do? He's been excellent for the Sabres in net. He's stolen games for them. And I think he's going to be the number one goalie for the U.S. So good for him for overcoming a lot of tough times and still just doing his job and being an excellent goaltender.
I'll wrap up cheers and jeers by cheering the 2014 class of inductees into the IIHF Hockey Hall of Fame. Steve Yzerman, Nicklas Lidström, Vyacheslav Bykov, Andre Komutov, and Ruslan Saleh. They are the five inductees into the 2014 IIHF Hockey Hall of Fame. That's it for this early Saturday morning in the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Big thank you to Kevin McGran joining us from Malmo, Sweden, and Jack Edwards, the voice of the Boston Bruins on the New England Sports Network. In case you missed any of the show, it will be available on iTunes, on TSN1290.ca, and on IllegalCurve.com. Big thank you to our sponsors, the Certified General Accountants of Manitoba, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, and the Linden Market Dental Center. Remember that you can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/IllegalCurve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and NHL news is IllegalCurve.com. For my colleagues Ezra Ginsberg and Richard Pollock, for producers Michael Remus and Tim Debenham, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. Wednesday evening, 6 p.m., it's NHL Midweek, and until next Saturday, if it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Stay tuned for Hustler and Lawless.
You've been listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
Catch the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live Saturdays on TSN 1290 and TSN 1290.ca.